This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this second Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
There is an old saying, your guilt can kill you. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have the answer for our guilt. We realize how often we are burdened with those sins that linger in our soul and in our mind. We know, O God, not which way to turn, for we realize that we are guilty. And so you have come into this world, and we thank you for that great Advent message, that we have a Redeemer who can take away all of our sins and restore us into fellowship with you forever. May that message ring in our hearts this day, for we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
God's Son has made me free.
God's word as it is recorded in the 32nd Psalm. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Have thine own way.
While I am waiting.
Friends in Christ, there is an old saying, your guilt can kill you. Well, for most of us, our guilt may not kill us as it did Judas, though it is one of the reasons for many suicides. I just can't live with myself any longer, was the note left on the dining room table. There was the body and the gun beside him. Guilt. Guilt can kill. But guilt can kill in other ways, too. It can kill our spirit and enthusiasm for life. It can kill our feeling of self-worth. A person says, I'm no good. Look at what my brother has done, and I have accomplished nothing because of wasted opportunities. It can take some of the joy out of our family living. Guilt is a killer. Hearing all of this, your friends may say, now wait a minute. You're overplaying guilt. I don't think there are many suffering from guilt today. Our society is so wide open and morally corrupt that we are not sure what is right and what is wrong. Without any absolutes, how can you be guilty? This is a problem, some will go on to say, with so many sermons that ministers are preaching. They really do not deal with life in the real sense of the word. Oh, you can get the subject of guilt, as you have it today, in one of these destructive sins that torment people. And you can go back and talk about the guilt, as you will do without a doubt today, and that's right. The guilt of a David, the guilt of a Judas, the guilt of a Peter, the guilt of a Paul. But these people lived 2,000 years ago. You can even go back and talk about the guilt that your fathers and mothers had. But guilt? Guilt in 205 or 206? That is not something that really torments us too much. I don't believe that's true. I think there are millions and millions and millions of guilty people in this old world today. And I know that there are thousands and thousands of us with whom I travel on a regular basis, and we know what guilt is all about. Let's take a look at two examples from the Scripture which speak to this subject of guilt. I think we will see that the Bible refutes the thought that any of us in any age can live free of guilt. If you turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of Romans, verse 14, you read something like this, and I'm going to use the Living Bible. It's a paraphrase, but it speaks to us so very, very clearly. It says, God will punish the heathens when they sin, even though they never had God's written law. For down in their hearts, they know what is wrong. God's laws are written within them. Their own conscience accuses them, or sometimes excuses them. In other words, this is what we call the natural law that is printed in the heart of an individual. Sometimes we refer to it as conscience. People who have nothing to do with the Christian faith have a conscience. Now I realize that it can be marred, and there are parts of our culture that are working overtime to make us question what is right and wrong. God does tell us that there is deep inside the person a knowledge of what is right and wrong, And no matter how hard culture may work, it can't seem to erase it. Let me tell you of a rather interesting interview that I had some years ago. I was still serving in the parish ministry, and there was a young couple who came in to make their preparation for their wedding. During the course of our meeting together, I was filling out some of the information that had to go to the state as far as the wedding license was concerned, and there it asked for the address. Well, I asked Bob what his address was, and he gave it to me. And then I got around to Mary, and I asked Mary, "What is your address?" And she says, "The same." In other words, they were cohabitating. These were always very, very difficult interviews. What did a Christian pastor do who did not like to mock marriage? Here were two people living together anyway. And according to the Word of God, any sexual relationships outside of marriage is lust and not love. But I had learned this. I usually lay my pen down on the desk and push my chair away from the desk, and then I would say, "How do you feel about this? Do you really feel good that you know that you have a commandment that talks against this, and you have defied it? Aren't you a little bit concerned?" The person in this interview, the woman, was a member of our congregation. I had had that young lady, a fine young lady in many ways, in my confirmation class. She had been taught and taught to the best of my ability, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And living with a person outside of marriage is adultery. No matter which way you cut it, it's adultery. But to my surprise, she turned and looked at me and she said, "I feel good about it. Now that we have lived together for a period of months, I really feel that I know him and he is the right person for me." That took me back a little bit. And I looked at the young man who came from no church background at all. I wonder if he had ever been to Sunday school. I had some thoughts about her marrying him because it does say that believers should not become involved with unbelievers in marriage. He looked at me and he said, "It does bother me. I know that this isn't right. And I know if this continues in our country, it probably can have a serious effect on the home. I don't like it." His bride-to-be, the one supposedly who was a Christian, turned and said, "Well, I never heard you say that. Are you just saying it to get his approval?" And I could tell the young man wasn't. "No, I'm not," he said. "And I enjoy living with you." But he asked us, "How do you feel about it? And I know it isn't right." Now, where did that guilt come from? I believe that St. Paul has given us the answer to that when it says, "The natural law is written in the hearts of a person." He hadn't had any formal training in rights or wrongs as far as God's word was concerned, according to what he told me. But there was something inside that told him, "This is not right." And now those of us who are acquainted with God's law, who have had the opportunity to live with God in his word and in his church, and so supposedly we should have deeper insights into what this law is. For the law was given by God to bring us to a knowledge of our sin. And so when it says in the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill," that means just that, and God elaborates upon that. In fact, Jesus goes so far as to say that he who hates his brother is a murderer. You see, that's given us the right and the wrong. We have been taught, thou shalt not commit adultery, to be repetitious. But Jesus goes further again, and he says, those who look at a woman so as to lust after her has already committed adultery in his heart. Now, what does that mean? That means that if I take God's word seriously and the law part of that word, then I have a knowledge of what God's way is, and when my way is not his way, then we know that we have sinned. When we take a look at thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, that's a command that comes from God. And those of us who have been schooled in what is right and what is wrong according to the Ten Commandments realize that when we talk viciously about a neighbor, that is sin. And many a time I have gone to my home at night after conversations where perhaps we were guilty of that, and the guilt went along with me to bed. Guilt is a destructive emotion. It really affects our feelings. And so let's turn back to the text that I read for today, to Psalm 32. And it is said that this psalm was written after David had had his dealings with Bathsheba and Uriah. Now, you all know that story, but in case somebody doesn't, let me just review it quickly. Bathsheba was a beautiful woman, and David had seen her and wanted her and was not content until he had her. And so he was brought to her bedroom, and he committed adultery with her. And then he had to do something to get this husband out of the way. And so after trying several ways, he finally said, well, have Uriah killed. David had broken two commandments, and he had the law of God. It was not only written on his heart, but it was also found in the Ten Commandments that God had given to Moses and that had been passed on down through to David. He lived for about a year before the prophet Nathan came. And perhaps you recall that story too, but Nathan said to David, David, that which you have done is sin. Uriah had only one wife. You have many. And if you would have wanted more, I guess you could have gotten more. But what did you do? What did you do? You had him killed. I tell you, David, that is sin. During that year before Nathan had come to deal with David's sins, there was guilt. And he expresses it here in that psalm that I read for you. He says, for example, I couldn't eat. I couldn't sleep. My strength was sapped with God's heavy hand on me. But then after Nathan had finished ministering to him and told him his sin and confronted him with it and didn't try to gloss it all over, what does he do? He confesses his sin. He says, I have sinned against God. And then he said, you forgave my sin. And when you forgave my sin, I was a new man. You took my transgression away from me. You forgave me, and the guilt was taken from my soul. That's forgiveness. That's dealing with guilt. And you forgave the guilt of my sins. How many times, if you're a Christian person, have you not turned to God and said, oh, God, thank you. How can you continually forgive me my sin? But he is a God of grace. He is a God who has prepared a way to have that done. How often do we not really feel that we have sinned against God? Sinned against ourselves. The other day, I was sitting with a man visiting, and he had an oxygen tent. And I said to him, "It's kind of hard to breathe, isn't it?" "Yes," he said, "it is. And it's especially hard when you have brought it on yourself." This didn't have to be. And he was a man probably growing close to 80. And through his huffing and his puffing, he said, "You know, I smoke 3 packages of cigarettes a day." There was a while that I didn't know that it was harming my health. But along towards the end, I did, and I kept right on. He said, "It makes you feel guilty." And I imagined that I could take a look at my body and say, as I look at the stomach, "I haven't been a very good steward either with all of this eating." We carry guilt for some little thing like this. It isn't the guilt of a Bathsheba's or Uriah. It isn't that which David dealt with, but it's guilt. I heard a person say to me again just within the last few days, "There were so many ways I could have been a better dad." You see what happened? For many years, as he raised his children, he was not a Christian. And then he was converted. And he said, "Oh, I could have done so many good things for them. If I had only taught them how to pray and taught them the need of God's word." I was so thankful to be able to say to him, "You know, my brother, what you have said is right. But God has come into this world in the person of Jesus Christ to forgive you your sin." We can't get rid of our sin by rationalizing it. We can't get rid of our sins by denying it. God is not going to condone our sin. But if we will confess our sin, he will forgive us, and it will all be taken away. And that is possible because Jesus Christ has come into this world and has suffered and died on the cross for your sins and mine. And their payment was made for those sins. And as a result, we can be freed up. All we have to do, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is to confess that sin and to trust that Savior. That is the only way in the world that you can realistically deal with guilt. And so we have entered the Advent season. In the next few Sundays, we will talk about those great truths of the incarnation, of God coming to this world in the person of Jesus Christ. It's a Christmas story. He came to take away these destructive emotions that we have been talking about for the last 7 weeks. He came to reconcile us to God. And so when we sing these blessed Christmas carols, and we're going to close with one of them today, let us rejoice and let us thank God that we can say with the psalmist of old, "When I confessed my transgressions to the Lord, he forgave the guilt of my sin." That is the gospel, my friend. That is the good news. No matter how many destructive emotions we have, God can take care of them in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Come to me, O Lord.
Let us pray. O come, Emmanuel. O come and ransom Israel. We personalize that today, and we pray that you will come and redeem us, Lord Jesus, that you will take away our sin, and that we will not have to carry these guilts along with us. May it be a blessed Christmas. May we have the joys of the family and the congregation and the community. May we go to our programs and once again sing those beautiful carols. But, oh God, through it all, may we have our quiet time and realize that unto us a Son has been given, and he is a wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He is our Lord Jesus Christ, upon whom we can lay our sins and know that they are forever taken away. Make it a blessed Advent and a blessed Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As we prepare to greet the Babe of Bethlehem, may your heart be filled with the expectation and jubilation of the promised Messiah. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry. We are supported by the financial gifts of those who have been helped and those who want to join with us in reaching others. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. For your convenience, we are now able to take credit card donations by phone or mail. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who cannot attend church. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help defray production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.